We're starting. Hello, everybody. Good morning. This meeting is called to order January 27, 2011 at 9:05 a.m. Before proceeding with any business, I believe Mr. Smith has a statement to make.
I do, Mr. Chairman. Thank you. A public notice of this meeting containing all items on the proposed agenda has been filed in the office of the Secretary of State. Is required by Chapter 551 Government Code, referred to as the Open Meetings Act. I'd like for this fact to be noted in the official record of this meeting. Also, just want to welcome everybody. We've got a great turnout today. We're going to kick off the meeting with some special recognitions and awards for colleagues that have been with this agency for a long time. We have a bunch of folks who probably have not had a chance to attend a commission meeting before, and so just a couple of little housekeeping items for those of you who've got cell phones or Blackberries, if you don't mind just taking a moment and silencing those or put them on vibrate. Also, if you've got a conversation that you need to have, just because of the acoustics in the room, I just ask that you respectfully step outside. Also, once we get through the service awards, we'll take a very, very short break and let those colleagues and their families who want to leave go ahead and get up and leave before we resume with the rest of the commission meeting. For those of y'all who are going to be staying throughout the duration, we do have a few action items that the commission is going to be voting on. If you wish to speak on those items, we want to make sure that you've signed up outside, and at the appropriate time, the chairman will ask you to come forward. I will ask you to state your name. You'll have 3 minutes to address the commission. We've got a very simple green light, red light system, and so green means go and red means stop. So just take note of that, and again, nice to see everybody this morning. Mr. Chairman, I think that's it for me. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Carter. Before we get started this morning, I would like to mention that action item number 9, in case any of you are here for that and missed it, revisions to exotic aquatic species rules and fees, recommended adoption of proposed changes, has been withdrawn from the agenda at this time. This was that white list, black list situation. In fact, I think it was even an article in this morning's paper about it. But that has been withdrawn for this meeting over the next few hours. Next is the approval of the minutes from the previous meetings held November 4th. And then the special meeting held December 20th. Again, I want to thank Dan Hughes and others for the help on acquiring Devil's River Ranch. That was a special meeting on December 20th. And it's a real coup for the department, for the parks system, but most importantly for the citizens of the state of Texas. It's a beautiful, beautiful wild location over on Devil's River. And I'm proud to say that that deal closed quickly right after that meeting, and Scott Boroff and others, of course, heavily involved. It's a really, I've been on the commission now almost 8 years, and maybe the one of the neatest single things that we've accomplished, and the way it came down was just beautiful. It worked out great. And so, Dan, I want to thank you and your family and Scott and all the staff on that. So that was that special meeting on December 20th. And we do need an approval or a motion on the approval of the minutes for both those meetings, November 4th and December 20th.
So moved.
Commissioner Bivens, second. Commissioner Falcone, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, that carries. Okay, thank you. Next is the acknowledgement of the donations list. Again, I'd just like to always say is, our donations list every month always surprises me. Sometimes it's up in over $1 million. We have people supporting us and from industry, individuals, like kind of organizations, conservation groups, law enforcement, everything. And it's just really amazing every month to look at that list. So we always want to acknowledge that and, of course, approve it also. So do I have a motion for approval on the donations list? Okay, Commissioner Hickson, second. Commissioner Morian, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, hearing none, motion carries. Next is service awards. Okay, we have a lot of...
Morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the commission. For the record, my name is Carter Smith. We're going to start out this morning. We've got three colleagues that are leaving the agency, and so we're going to celebrate their tenure appropriately. We're going to start out with one of our long-standing state park leaders, Stormy Reeves. Started out as an intern with the state park program there at Washington-on-the-Brazos. Very shortly thereafter, was promoted to superintendent over at Palmetto State Park between Luling and Gonzales. But really, where everybody knows Stormy is the face of Goose Island State Park, right there on Copano Bay. Been our superintendent there for a long time. Very popular fishing destination. Stormy has led a lot of efforts to acquire land to add to the park and help restore marsh there. He's also stewarded the big tree, you know, that giant live oak tree said to be over 1,000 years old. His state parks colleagues say, contrary to popular opinion, Stormy did not plant the acorn have that tree. So 37 years of service, Stormy Reed. Stormy.
Okay. Would you mind if I got one with my wife?
Sure.
Ann, could you come on up, please?
How are you? Good to see you. Do you want us in it? Do you want us in it or not in it?
Oh, yes, sir.
Oh, okay.
How you tell me?
Thank you.
Our next colleague, who's retiring after 28 years of service with the agency, also with our state park team, Kathy Flores. And she started her career there at Goose Island, working as a clerk, took a little temporary reprieve from the agency, and worked for an oilfield business for a while. Fortunately, came back to us working for the state parks office there in Rockport, but then was hired as the office manager there at Mustang Island State Park back in January of 1988, in which she's served proudly ever since. She's been nominated for a number of awards with the agency. She's been a very valuable member of our team on the coast and state parks, and so 28 years of service. Kathy Flores. Kathy, please come forward.
Yes. Do you have anything to do after your retirement?
No.
I think we're going to move over.
Thank you. Congratulations, Daddy.
Well, the next individual y'all know well, he's been the face and the leader of just some extraordinary efforts on the hunter education front, angler education, boating education front, Steve Hall. And Steve was hired back in 1985 as our assistant hunter ed coordinator, promoted education coordinator back in 1988. There's a whole litany of programs that have been developed under Steve's leadership, becoming an outdoors woman, the Perry Haynes Youth Ranch program, the mobile shooting sporting clays program that goes around the state, partnerships with FFA and 4-H. He launched the archery in schools program. Y'all know how successful that is, one of the fastest growing programs, Texas youth hunting program. I could go on and on and on, but Steve has just done a remarkable job. He's really, truly one of the national, if not international, experts in his field. Was inducted into the Hall of Fame from the International Hunter Education Association for his work, and not bad for a guy who shot himself with a BB gun when he was six. Steve Hall, 26 years with us. Steve.
Yeah, good.
I should have mentioned that Steve is now the executive director of the Texas State Rifle Association. So he's going to put all that work to good use and be a great partner with a great organization there. So we look forward to working with him in that capacity. We're going to now move on to service awards, and we're going to start out with another familiar face, an individual and colleague who's been with us for 40 years, Alan Forsagi. Alan started out as a biologist there in the inland fisheries team in Fort Worth, quickly promoted to district leader and then regional director before Phil tapped Alan to quarterback and head up the Texas Freshwater Fisheries Center in Athens. And for those of you who have been there, it is an extraordinary place, wonderful outreach, education, world-class hatchery. Alan is just an artesian well of ideas about how to grow and expand and innovate that place. His mind is just constantly working. He's a great ambassador for us and has been throughout his four-decade career with Parks and Wildlife. 40 years of service, Alan Forsagi. Alan. Our next colleague that we're going to recognize is part of our state parks team, Craig Von Barley, and one of our park specialists. Started off at the San Jacinto Battleground, moved over to Lake Somerville during his career. He's worked at Bastrop and Sea Rim and Garner, but ultimately come back to be a park specialist for us at San Jacinto Battleground. Got great exposure to the state park system. Very, very proud of his work. He said one of his great highlights was being at Garner, and one of the traditions you may not know about at Garner, certainly you're aware that you've got many generations of families that oftentimes will come back to that park for family reunions, and he loved the fact that families that are coming back oftentimes would camp out on the front porch of the visitor and sign-in center there to make sure they got a campground. So a very special memory for him and a great colleague that's been with us for a long time. And so let's recognize Craig today for 35 years of service. Craig. Our next colleague is from Inland Fisheries, David Cawley. Works for us over in Jasper at the fish hatchery there. Y'all know we're in the throes of getting ready to open up a new fish hatchery right there near Sam Rayburn, and we're all excited about that. David's been with us for 30 years. Was in the Army initially and then came over to work for us at the hatchery there as a biology field worker, moved up through our fish and wildlife technician ranks, very, very well known as a fish culturist, got a great work ethic, and like so many of our technicians, has had the unenviable job after 30 years of having to break in a bunch of spring chickens as his supervisors. And so David's done a great job. Very proud to have him on our team. 30 years of service, David Cawley. David. Our next colleague has also been with us 30 years. He's one of our captains in our law enforcement team, Gary Collins. His wife told me last night they went out and celebrated, and he had a cucumber margarita. Made it through two sips, apparently, before he moved on to the next batch. Gary, when he got out of the academy, was stationed over in Harris County, was recognized as Officer of the Year by CCA and also the local Chamber of Commerce. Rapidly promoted up to patrol sergeant and then to communications supervisor in that office, and then ultimately promoted to captain game warden. Been very involved in representing us during Katrina and Ike, done a great job. currently is our district supervisor up in Garland, which, by the way, is one of our busiest boat registration offices up there. They do a lot of work, and Gary's been with us for 30 years, Captain Gary Collins. Gary.
Good.
My hair
looks good.
It looks good. Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Wait, I think that's more pictures. Got it? Congratulations. Thank you.
Well, I see the next one back there with his grandson sitting on his lap, so this will be fun. Dick Herzog. Dick, of course, as y'all know, is our major over in Mount Pleasant, also been with us for 30 years when he got out of the academy, stationed over in El Campo in Wharton County, where he proudly served for 16 years and then promoted to captain game warden there in Harris County. Dick has gone through our natural leader program, one of the original ones there, been very involved in that important program. And then in 2003, he was appropriately promoted to major, where he now stands and serves this agency very proudly in Mount Pleasant. Great colleague, Major Dick Herzog, 30 years of service. Dick. Our next colleague is one of our captains, also been with us 30 years, Gus Cirola, and part of that academy that Dick and Gary were in. After he graduated from the academy, was stationed over in Lamarck in Galveston County. Was there for about 4 years before transferring over to Eagle Pass and served Maverick County very proudly wearing the uniform for the department. Then he was ultimately promoted to a captain's position in Alpine. And then most recently, back in 2007, he moved over to Uvalde, and so where he's the captain of that district. Served us very proudly there and leads a great team. Gus Cirola, 30 years of service. Gus. We've got another colleague from that class, and Danny Villalobos, and a number of you had a chance to work recently with Danny on the successful OGT shoot that we held in San Antonio recently. When Danny graduated from the academy, was stationed over at Port Lavaca in Calhoun County, there on the coast for about 8 years before transferring over to San Antonio, served as a game warden there in Bexar County for 16 years. Then he went to work for the Special Ops Unit as one of our Sergeant Marine Theft investigators. Did a great job. October of 2008, promoted to Captain Game Warden. Danny's received a lot of honors, one from the San Antonio Police Department for a life-saving incident he was involved in which he saved the life of a little girl that was involved in a car accident. I want to note that the San Antonio Harlandale Independent School District has inducted him into the Hall of Fame for his work to get kids out into the outdoors and participate in hunting and conservation programs, and so very proud of him for that. Danny also has a son who's a game warden and a daughter who works for this department, so he's kept it in the family. Danny Villalobos, 30 years of service. Danny.
Congratulations, buddy. Gold Star State. There you go. Yeah, we won last night, man. Congratulations to you, my friend, for all you've done. Give you a few other pictures. Okay.
All right. Congratulations.
Next colleague has been with us for 25 years, and nobody does more in this state to promote the future and value of fishing and trying to get kids to have opportunities to get out on a pond. Dave Terry's been with us for 25 years, started as a seasonal fish and wildlife technician in West Texas, quickly moved out as a biologist and ultimately a regional director there in Tyler. He now serves as the chief of our Inland Fisheries Management and Research Branch, and David and his team of biologists and technicians are responsible for stewarding all of the lakes in Texas and making sure that there are high-quality fisheries there, and Dave has just done an extraordinary job. Big promoter of the neighborhood fishing program. Dave has also been our liaison with Toyota on the Toyota Bass Classic and have had some very, very successful events there, done an extraordinary job. Recently received the Outstanding Achievement Award from the Southern Division of the American Fisheries Society. He's published a lot of scientific articles and well recognized for that. And recently he was awarded the Outstanding Fisheries Worker of the Year. 25 years of service, Dave Terry. Dave. Our next colleague has been with us 20 years, Olivia Adair Walters, and she's an accounts examiner, works here in Austin out of our Administrative Resources Division, but she started in state parks as a seasonal maintenance worker there at Bastrop State Park. Moved up to park ranger, worked in everything in the front office, maintaining the park. She coordinated all of our volunteers. She was particularly known for all her work managing the swimming pool, which is an extremely popular destination there at Bastrop State Park. Taught all of her colleagues there in CPR and first aid and rescue techniques. Received an employee recognition award for her work at the pool and programs that she developed there. She's come to Austin, where she currently works in the boat section of our revenue branch in NAR, and we're very proud of all of her work with the agency. 20 years of service, Olivia Adair Walters. Olivia, please come forward. Colleague that we're going to recognize, Mark Howell up in Wichita Falls, our district biologist up there. Actually, just one of those wonderful things you like to see. I happened to pick up the Wichita Falls paper, and there was a letter to the editor that was praising Mark and his team's work up there on managing the lakes up there and working to get kids out. He and his team oversee everything from Lake Arrowhead, Lake Graham, and lakes, Possum Kingdom, lakes all up in that area. Been very active on trying to get kids into the outdoors. I hear a lot of compliments about his work in that regard on the community fishing lakes. Also involved on the Wichita Falls City Park Board, Riverbend Nature Center, and the Northwest Texas Field and Stream Association. And so Mark's been a great leader up there, 20 years of service. Mark Howell. Mark. Another one of our colleagues that is in our one of our fisheries division, coastal fisheries, and y'all know Sea Sitter there in Lake Jackson is again one of our flagship outreach and education program, just an extraordinary facility. And one of the things that makes it so is our leadership there, David Abrego. David's been with us for 20 years. Started out as a technician over in Corpus at the CCA and CPL Marine Development Center. Worked as a resource specialist, assistant manager, and factory manager, and then moved over to lead the facility at C-Center in 2000, and been very, very involved in all the production on redfish and trout, and of course, most recently, there on southern flounder, where they pioneered those propagation techniques. As a natural leader, been recognized by CCA and C, local chamber, for his work. He's just a great ambassador, a ton of energy, leads a great team over there. David Abrego, 20 years of service. David. Our next colleague is also, or I say also, is in inland fishery, Jarrett Marquardt. He's a fish and wildlife technician. Started out his career there at Heart of the Hills before he moved over back to San Marcos to the A.E. Wood Fish Hatchery. And he's done work on his over the course of his career on Guadalupe bass and freshwater mussels, and probably involved in stocking every lake in the state of Texas at some point or another. His colleagues say he just has a wonderful attitude, a great work ethic, and just a delightful member of that team, incredibly productive. And so we're going to recognize him today for 20 years of service, Jarrett Marquardt. Jarrett, please come forward.
Thank you. Yeah, absolutely. Nice, Jerry.
Our next colleague is a game warden who you might not know, but I can assure you, you know his story. Mike Alexander, been with us for 20 years. When he got out of the academy, he was sent to the deep piney woods over in Sabine County. And at the time, the state had just was fresh off outlawing hunting deer with dogs. And Mike was the one that came into a deer camp with 11 hunters, suspected that they were hunting deer with dogs, found an untagged deer, and one of the hunters that evaded arrest. He was able to apprehend that hunter, and while he was processing that hunter there at the courthouse, some other hunters from back at that camp were trying to steal the evidence and take the deer out of his truck. It got worse, however, when a few hours later, some of those same individuals in the camp burned down his house. And Mike, to his great credit, showed an incredible amount of fortitude and stayed right there in Sabine County for 10 years, not about to let those outlaws run him out of that county, and served us very well. He's now over in Comanche County. He served this agency very proudly for 20 years as a Texas game warden. Mike Alexander. Mike.
You don't have to listen to the turtle.
Our next colleague that we're going to recognize is Fernando Cervantes. Fernando is our captain there along the border. Very involved in all the Falcon Lake stuff. He's just had a great career. When he got out of the academy, went over to Terrell County in West Texas, then transferred over to Duval County. I first met him when he was in Hidalgo County for a couple of years before November 1st of 2008, when Freddie was promoted to captain there in Zapata County, a new duty station. And he has really been on the front lines on the border, as Commissioner Falcone and Martin know there, with all of the incidents at Falcon Lake and the drug running and so forth. He's also been a great ambassador for this agency in the Falcon Lake issues. You literally could not turn on a TV with a state or national TV station and not see Freddie there with somebody wanting to stick a microphone in his face. And we've got to hurry this up because he's got Oprah here in 15 minutes. So Freddie Cervantes, been with us for 20 years. Freddie, come on forward.
Congratulations, my friend.
I won't make you stand alone up here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Congratulations.
Our next colleague, y'all had a chance to see him get recognized when he was recognized by the National Wild Turkey Federation for his exemplary service. Just done a great job, Eddie Hines. Eddie was spent a lot of time over in Fannin County. When he got out of the academy, he was stationed in Conroe and then moved over to Bonham there in Fannin County and played a huge role there. He got the county's Outstanding Officer of the Year Award back in 2004, received a bunch of recognition from our Operation Game Thief, and, of course, 2 years ago received the Officer of the Year Award for the National Wild Turkey Federation, so been very, very involved in the conservation of those birds. Most recently, he's moved over to Washington County, where he's serving this agency very proudly. Eddie Hines, 20 years of service.
That's right.
We got one.
Go ahead. Thank you.
Eddie, congratulations.
Our next colleague that we're going to recognize is Henry Lutz over in Savinall. And Henry, out of that same class, 20 years of service, started out, he was stationed on the coast. And I first met Henry was over in Brackettville, and Henry served Kenny County there for 14 years before recently moving over to Uvalde County. The thing that my parents always loved was every week in the Brackett News, there was an article that Henry wrote, and when Henry moved to Uvalde County, they terminated their subscription to the Brackett News out of ire over that, and so I loved his column in the newspaper. Henry's been a great warden, very involved in a lot of training as a T-close instructor and firearms instructor, proud member of our law enforcement team. Henry Lutz, 20 years of service. Henry.
Henry, congratulations.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. Thank you.
Our next colleague, David Martinez, has also been with us for 20 years. When he graduated from the academy, headed south to work on the Laguna Madre over there at Port Mansfield there in Willacy County, then transferred over to Hidalgo County, worked very, very closely with our team there to protect the fisheries in the Laguna Madre, work on water safety and boater safety, and just take care of that extraordinary special resource in South Texas. Been with us for 20 years, David Martinez. David. Our next colleague, also a state gang warden, Dale Moses, serves us proudly up there in Grayson County. He's a great outdoorsman. When he got out of the academy, stationed over in Seabrook, but back in 94 moved up to that Grayson County station where he served us proudly right there at Lake Texoma. Very involved in the fishing and hunting communities over there, a very accomplished bow hunter in his own right. Interesting thing I'd point out, we recognized Alan Forsagi for his 40 years of service and talked about the Freshwater Fisheries Center, and one of the big draws for years was this giant blue catfish that came out of Texoma called Splash that, I mean, just folks just came from everywhere to see that giant blue catfish, and it was Dale that talked the angler who caught that fish into not throwing it back and donating it to the Freshwater Fisheries Center. So, Dale, you done good. Dale, I've been with us for 20 years, serves us very well up there. Dale Moses, 20 years of service. Dale.
Congratulations.
Thanks, sir.
There you go. want one more.
Thank you.
Our next colleague is one of our captains, Jimmy Rampt. I've been a great leader with this agency. Started out in Deep East Texas over in San Augustine County, then promoted there to captain district supervisor in that area. One of the things I want you to know about Jimmy is he served our country very, very proudly. After 9/11, he was called to duty there with the Texas Army National Guard and was in Iraq for 3 years of deployment and just did an extraordinary job and represented this agency in this state and this country with great professionalism. He's been a real leader in our law enforcement ranks. He's now our captain over in Waco and a recent graduate, I might add, of the FBI National Academy. We're very proud to have him. 20 years of service, Jim Rampt. Jim. Our next colleague, Doug Siemens, I don't know what kind of game warden Doug is, but I'll tell you, that boy can drive. If you need to get someplace in a hurry, Doug Siemens is your man. They don't get too worked up about speed limits over there in San Angelo, and when you got to get someplace, you want that man behind the wheel. Doug Siemens, great colleague, been with us for 20 years, started out there on the coast in San Patricio County before he moved over to Tom Green County. He's our lieutenant there. In all seriousness, he's a very, very well-respected game warden. He's a great leader, just as steady as they come. Really proud to have him here. Doug Siemens, 20 years of service. Doug. Our next colleague is one of our newest majors, William Skeen. Y'all know William, been with us for 20 years. Also started out his career over there in the Piney Woods in Sabine County, working there in Deep East Texas, Toledo Bend Reservoir, transferred back to Limestone County before he was promoted to lieutenant out of our Harris County in Houston office. Then assumed a position in fisheries and in working our joint federal-state fisheries program. Did a great job working with NOAA, helping to grow that program, brought in some very substantial federal grants, making sure that we were doing a good job taking care of the commercial fisheries out in the Gulf, was a real leader there. Most recently, in February of 2010, William was promoted to our major over there when Ted Tolley retired, and so real proud to have him on the team. William Skeen, 20 years of service. William.
Leroy.
All right, good. I know Leroy was going to get here as soon as he could. It's I'll tell a quick story on you, Leroy. Do everybody else. What the hell? I got a letter last week, somebody ranting and raving about something, as they typically do, sort of nonsensical. Got down through the whole thing, read through it. What are they complaining about? Then at the very end, there was this throwaway line that said, oh, by the way, you got a great game warden in Leroy Thompson. So, I'm going to finish the letter out. We'll take it. So thank you, Leroy. That's finished that on a good note. Been with us for 20 years up in Plano in the North Texas area. He's a masterpiece officer. Been a great representative for us. One thing that Leroy has really taken seriously is just the whole stewardship and conservation side of his work as a law enforcement officer, very involved in the Collin County Blackland Prairie Master Naturalist Program, also helped create a raptor rehabilitation clinic for injured raptors that had no place to be taken, very instrumental in helping to get that started and working on education and introducing youth and others to the importance of our hawks and raptors and birds of prey, getting school kids out. And so he's received a number of awards from the Corps of Engineers office for his work up there in North Texas and 20 years of service. Leroy Thompson. Leroy.
Pulled his fat out of the fire.
Our next colleague, y'all know well, is our assistant chief in wildlife, Scott Vaca, by the way, the son of a game warden. And so family career there and family tradition. 20 years ago, he was graduated from the academy and told he was going to be stationed there in Trinity County. Asked him if he knew where it was. He said, "Oh, yes, sir." The supervisor turned around. Next thing you know, they see Vaca looking at the map going. Scott made his way back from East Texas, came over here to Travis County, and then was up in Williamson County where he was one of our field wardens. And then actually on his daughter's birthday, July 8, 2008, he received the promotion to become our assistant chief of wildlife enforcement. He worked very closely with David Sinclair on our wildlife regulations, just does an extraordinary job. Scott Baca, 20 years of service. Scott.
Congratulations, sir.
Susan, you're going to have to put your camera down on this one. So our next colleague, you've seen her if you don't know her. She's the shutterbug there in the audience, Susan Webb, one of our proud law enforcement officers there in Harris County, also part of that class that graduated from the academy 20 years ago. When she got out of the academy, immediately stationed there in Harris County, where she and her husband, Kevin, both serve us very proudly. She's been recognized with the Law Enforcement Division's Humanitarian Award for her outstanding efforts. Susan takes very, very seriously the responsibility to support officers and their families in times of duress and need. Very, very close to the family of two fallen officers, Michael Pauling and Wes Wagstaff. She's also one of our representatives helping nationally with a group, COPS, Concerns of Police Supervisors. She just on our critical incident response team and really reaches out to support officers and their families in the times of need. Susan Webb, 20 years of service. Susan. Our next colleague is in State Park, Bastrop State Park, just down the road. Esther Rivas, one of our proud park rangers. She started her career there as a part-time ranger. You know, we've got all those wonderful CCC cabins there, just spectacular right there in the woods. Every once in a while, they're known to harbor a mouse or two, and God help them if Esther is coming after them. She's promoted up through the ranks. She's been a great ambassador for us with visitors to come that very special park. I know Todd McClanahan and our team there are very proud of her. And so 20 years of service, Esther Rivas. Esther.
You. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Our next colleague, one of our biologists, Chuck Kowaleski, and Chuck's had a 20-year career with this agency. Started out, actually, I didn't know this, as a coastal fisheries technician in Galveston Bay, and then was hired by our inland fisheries team as one of our first urban biologists and outreach specialists there in Houston, and was stationed there at Sheldon Lake. That's where I had the chance to get to know Chuck first, developing a lot of our urban outreach programs. From there, Chuck came to Austin. He coordinated our Project Wild effort, again, another important education and outreach effort there, and then was hired by the Wildlife Division. And he'd been our Farm Bill coordinator, and you know how important that bill is and all the conservation title and programs there. Chuck has influenced, you know, literally tens, if not hundreds of millions of dollars, getting them invested in the right place for conservation, whether it's to benefit mottled ducks or bobwhite quail or antelope or bighorn sheep. Chuck has been really the advocate and ambassador for wildlife on many Farm Bill programs and just done a great job, well recognized at the national level. Let's recognize Chuck for 20 years of service. Chuck. Chairman, we've got one more award that I want to recognize, and this is for one of our partners. Y'all know how critically important our partners are to getting our work done, and some of you have been involved with our efforts over the years with the Teaming with Wildlife program to help secure funding for our non-game and wildlife diversity programs, a critically important part of our element, our work here. This is the 10th year of our state wildlife grants, and had a big celebration of that and a lot of publicity on work on everything from conservation efforts in East Texas for black bears to ocelots in deep South Texas. But we couldn't do it without it. We've got David Braun, who chairs our Texas Teaming with Wildlife Coalition, which is a group of individuals and nonprofits that are out there advocating to ensure that we can get sufficient resources to help invest in our non-game conservation. Kind of the heart and soul of it has been Maria Fowler. Maria is with the National Wildlife Federation. She has been the kind of glue that's brought all that group together, played a major role in leading us through this 10-year anniversary of the state wildlife grant program. She's consistently gone to Washington to advocate for that and just been a great conservation partner over the years. And so on behalf of all of us at Parks and Wildlife, we simply wanted to say a word of thanks to our partner, Maria Fowler. Maria.
Oh, absolutely. There you go. Thank you. Got it? Could I get one with David?
Yes.
Thank you. Thanks very much.
Don't deserve it.
No,
Dan.
No, boy.
Good to see you.
Thanks for everything, David.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman and members of the Commission, I think that concludes our service awards and recognition. Thank you.
I guess, do we have a quorum? I think we do. We can get started. Thank you, everybody. That was fun. I think there were 14 or 15. Game wardens, all in that 20-year class. Yeah, that's great. Okay, our first order of business is an action item, just approval of the revised agenda, because remember we've taken that one motion off the agenda. Do I have a motion for approval? Okay, Commissioner Hughes, second. Commissioner Martin, thank you. All in favor? Any opposed? Hearing none, motion carries. Thank you all. Item number two, action personnel matters, selection of a new internal auditor. Mr. Carter Smith.
Mr. Chairman and members of the commission, for the record, my name is Carter Smith, and I think as all of you know, back in September, Carlos Contreras left the agency to go back to the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality, where he had spent a goodly part of his career. Since that time, Gene McCarty has led a search process for us to find a replacement to lead our Director of Internal Audit Program. I think, as all of you are aware, that's a critically important leadership position for this agency with respect to helping us manage risk. It's also a position that reports directly to the commission and requires your approval before going forward. We had a lot of very talented and capable and qualified applicants who submitted their names for consideration for this position. And after a very thorough search process, interviews that we did at the staff level, we recommended several finalists to Chairman Holt, who interviewed two finalists, and the recommendation that he has for the commission to consider with respect to the new leadership of this program is Ms. Vandita Zachariah. And Vandita has a very a distinguished background, a very well educated, with master's in economics and an MBA from the University of Texas at Arlington. She's very well versed in the audit field and the business world, also in state government. She'd be coming to us from the Department of Health and Human Services, where she was part of their leadership team in internal audits. And prior to that, she was at the state auditor's office, where she held a number of positions of responsibility and leadership. I think you'll find Vandita very professional, very bright, a great fit for this organization, very focused on problem solving and looking out ahead of us to identify issues that we want to get in front of. And so with that, Mr. Chairman, what I might propose is ask Vandita to come forward and introduce her to the commission and ask her to say a few words and see if anybody has any questions for her, if that would work for you.
Sure, no, that'd be fine.
Vandita, you come forward.
Vandita, this is going to be your 10 minutes of questioning hard. Are you prepared? Welcome.
I anticipate many of those in the future. But good morning, Chairman Holt and members of the esteemed Texas Parks and Wildlife Commission. I am humbled and honored to be selected to lead the internal audit team. Thank you for the tremendous privilege to work with Mr. Carter Smith, agency management, and staff. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, and I appreciate you being interested in the job and applying for the job and then taking the job. You're going to be working with a great team of other internal auditors that have been here for years who've done a tremendous job, and so we're looking forward to your leadership and a new set of eyes and energy, and I think it'll be exciting going forward as we kind of restructure the team, and you'll be a key part of that. So I'm glad you're here. Do any commissioners any questions or comments? See, we're actually pretty nice people. Welcome aboard.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Vandita.
Mr. Chairman, we need to formalize it, and so I'm going to make a motion and ask to make a motion recommending that Ms. Vandita Zachariah is selected as the new Director of Internal Audit for the Texas Parks and Wildlife Department.
Okay. Do we have a motion for approval?
No.
Okay. Commissioner Hickson, second. Commissioner Morian, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none. Motion carries. Vandita, right. Welcome aboard.
Welcome aboard.
Thank you. Yeah. And when does Vandita start?
Vandita is going to start February 1st. So,
February 1st.
So she's going to be
Tuesday,
on board imminently. Her office is going to be right upstairs, and so looking forward to her getting going. So, yeah, yeah.
Good. You're going to let her office in the offices.
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
she's going to be close.
You're going to give her an office. Okay,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Welcome aboard. Thank you. Moving on to item number 3, an action item, indoor recreation local park grant funding. Tim Hogsett. Tim?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the Commission. I'm Tim Hogsett, Director of Recreation Grants in the State Parks Division. We're here to present to you this morning our annual recommendations for funding for the Indoor Recreation Non-Urban Grant Program. Non-urban meaning communities of less than 500,000 in population. We received four applications requesting a little almost $3 million for our August 1st deadline. The applications were scored and are rank ordered using the priority system which you previously adopted, and we're here to recommend to you funding for the top ranked application in the amount of $750,000. So we put before you the recommendation funding for one project listed in Exhibit A in the amount of $750,000 is approved. Be glad to answer any questions.
Yes, sir.
Tim, what is the project, the Randolph Recreation Center, just very, very generally?
It's the city of LaGrange, and it is the expansion of an existing recreation center, expansion, partial renovation.
Okay, thank you.
1,300 foot building, arts and crafts, kitchen, exercise, reading, games, media center, meeting rooms.
Any other questions or comments for Tim? Okay, I don't have any public. Do I have a motion for approval? Commissioner Hughes?
Second.
Commissioner Bivens, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, motion carries. Thank you, Tim. Item number four, an action item, outdoor recreation grant funding. Tim, you're up again.
Again, for the record, I'm Tim Hogsett from Recreation Grants Branch, State Parks Division. This is our semi-annual proposal for funding for the outdoor recreation non-urban program. We received, as of the August 1st, 2010 deadline, 29 eligible applications requesting almost $13 million in matching funds. We have rank ordered and scored these projects, and the rank ordered scores can be found in Exhibit A. Based on available funding, and you'll note that this is considerably less than we've given in the past, the reason for that is that there were several mandated appropriation riders which had to come out of this account this year. For that reason, we're only able to recommend funding for four projects. And you'll note that the fourth project, the City of Vinton, is recommended for partial funding. We're trying to enable to go down as far down the list as we can. We've contacted them, and they are totally fine with the idea of receiving partial funding. So the recommendation that we place before you this morning is that funding for four projects listed in Exhibit A in the amount of $1,848,209 is approved. Be glad to answer any questions.
Any questions? Yes, sir.
Tim, are there any funds left in the current budget for this program?
This will exhaust all funds from this current biennium for this program.
Okay.
This will be the last review.
Any other questions or comments from the commission? Okay. Do I have a motion for approval? Commissioner Morian. Second, Commissioner Martin. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Tim. Item number five, action urban indoor recreation grant funding. Tim, once more.
This is our annual presentation of indoor recreation grants for our urban partners. Urban grants are made available to communities of $500,000 in population or more. It includes these 13 eligible applicants. They compete among themselves for these funds and not with the balance of the state. We received two eligible applications for the August 1st deadline requesting $1,212,500, and we're recommending this morning the funding of both of those projects. So the recommendation we bring before you is funding for two projects listed in Exhibit A in the amount of $1,212,500 is approved. Glad to answer any questions you might have.
Okay. Any questions? Comments from the commissioner? Okay. I do have some public comments or individuals, and I'll call out your names. Richard Zavala from City of Fort Worth, you're up, and then Sandy Jenkins from San Antonio next.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the Commission. I'm Richard Zavala with the City of Fort Worth Parks and Community Services Department, and I'm here today to seek your approval of the staff recommendation for the Urban Indoor Grant. I want to let you know that this $1 million will be leveraged over four times as we use local bond funds, gas well revenues from a lease bonus that we signed for that particular park, developers' dollars, and city developing area dollars. So you're getting a pretty good bang for the buck on this one. This will be a new community center in the southwest portion of the city. It's a very fast-growing portion of the city, and we're underserved in that area. I do want to take a personal privilege to send my appreciation to Commissioner Duggins from Fort Worth. I think if we don't get this grant, we're going to have to flip a coin and decide who doesn't go back to Fort Worth, because we're going to be in trouble. And again, and I heard it in San Antonio at your last meeting, Tim Hogsett and his staff are just outstanding. And we just swapped stories. We knew each other 30 years ago when I was in White Settlement, Texas. But they do outstanding work, and they do it in a very professional manner. So with that, on behalf of the Mayor Mike Moncrief and our City Council, our Parks and Community Services Advisory Board, and the citizens of Fort Worth, I ask for your approval on this item. Thank you.
Mr. Duggins, do you have any questions for your buddy there? Yeah, okay. We'll see if we can get it done. Sandy Jenkins.
Good morning, Commissioner.
Good morning.
Commissioner Hickson, Commissioner Holt. On behalf of the City of San Antonio and the San Antonio Parks Foundation, I would like to thank you for the opportunity for being recommended for this funding of this grant, and especially Tim Hogsett and his staff. They're outstanding. The restoration of the Jinju House, which is recommended for funding, will create an indoor recreation grant opportunity that San Antonio has not seen for 30 years. The San Antonio Parks Foundation has actually raised over $1 million of private funds to restore the Jinju House at the Japanese Tea Gardens. This grant opportunity will actually allow us to finish out the restoration and open it up to the public. And actually, it's shovel ready, and the project will be finished by the summer. We actually had to stop construction for a period of time, so we're really excited about being able to begin construction again upon the funding of this grant. Without the partnership of Texas Parks and Wildlife, this project would not have been able to be completed at all, and the project would be sitting vacant until funds could be raised in order to open it up. So we look forward to a grand opening this summer, and you all will definitely be invited, and thank you very much.
All right, thank you, Ben. Any questions, comments? Right. Thank you. I was thinking I had a question for that. My brain isn't working today. Is there a motion for approval? Commissioner Martin, second. Commissioner Duggins, all in favor? Any opposed? Hearing none, motion carries. Thank you, Tim. You're up again. Okay. Item number six, Action Local Park Grant. Funding for Missouri City Project 2010 General Appropriations Act, Rider 35. Tim?
During the current biennium, the 81st legislature placed in our appropriations bill a instruction that we fund a project for the city of Missouri City in the amount of $1 million. We've received the application from the city. We've reviewed it. It's within total eligibility of what we do. It's going to be the redevelopment of a previously privately owned tennis center into a recreation center building. And based on the 5% reduction that was made in our budget during the current fiscal year, we've reduced this project to $950,000 in match. Having said that, the recommendation we bring before you this morning is that funding for the specific project specified in Rider 35 as listed in Exhibit A is approved. Be glad to answer any questions.
Okay. Missouri City understands the 5% cut. And,
yes.
Yeah. Any questions or comments? Yes, sir.
As I understand this, Rider 35, the commission has, or the department has been directed to grant to approve this grant.
That is correct.
And it says in the paper, shall allocate up to $1 million. Are we sure that we're not required to allocate the full $1 million?
We've discussed this with the Legislative Budget Board based on the cuts that we proposed, and they recommended that we make this 5% reduction to be in concert with what we've done elsewhere within the current fiscal year's budget.
That's all I want to know. Thank you.
Commissioner, if I just add to it, we had extensive discussions about this with certain legislative members about it, as well as the city manager for Missouri City, and explained the situation of them and what was required of us in terms of the cut, and so kept the cut just proportional to the 5%, and so that way they were not disproportionately impacted in any way. They've got a great project here, and so ultimately I think this is going to do a lot of good for Missouri City.
I'm not questioning the project at all. I just want to make sure we weren't in some way disregarding a mandate from the legislature.
Yeah, we had a lot of discussions on that.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Any other questions or comments? Okay. Do I have a motion? Commissioner Duggins. Second, Commissioner Hughes. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, motion carries. Thank you, Tim. Action item number 7, boat ramp grant funding. Tim, you're up.
This is our annual presentation to you of recommendations for use of the Federal Fish and Wildlife Service sport fish restoration money, of which 15% must be allocated for use for boating access. Program provides 75% matching grants to local governments. We can also use these funds within our state park system, as we are recommending for two projects in state parks be funded today. Received 9 applications requesting $2.7 million, and we have 2 proposals for boat ramps at state park sites. We're recommending funding for 7 local government applications in the 2 state parks in the amount of $1,811,858. Sport fish restoration money is divided into 2 accounts, one earmarked for freshwater and the other for saltwater access. Those allocations are based on the numbers of licenses that are sold for the various kinds of fishing. We've gotten more applications for freshwater and than we have the ability to allocate at this current time. So what we're recommending to you today is that we fund all the saltwater requests, and we have 2 worthy freshwater requests that we would like to bring to you next year. So we would propose not to take freshwater requests in the upcoming fiscal year, and instead ask you to conditionally approve these 2 projects. Our recommendation for you this morning is that funding for boating access construction and renovation projects listed in Exhibit A in the amount of $1,811,858 is approved. Also, conditionally approved funding for $894,700 for the cities of Luling and Gonzales projects, pending the ability of federal freshwater boating access funding. Be glad to answer any questions.
Help me on the federal freshwater funding. I mean, is it coming? What's your sense of that?
Yes, this is based on an annual allocation,
okay,
an annual appropriation to us. It's just that this year we've got more freshwater requests than we have the ability and have the resources to be able to fund.
Okay, I don't know if I quite see, because we're going to conditionally, if we vote for this, conditionally approve funding of the $894,000 pending the availability of federal freshwater.
Pending next year's apportionment from U.S. Fish and Wildlife.
Okay, so
that way we would not need to bring these back to you is the idea.
Okay, I've got you. Okay. Okay. And your sense of it is that those funds will be coming? That's what I've
heard.
Yes. Okay. I mean, I know you can't guarantee that, but what you... Yeah. Okay.
You're right about that.
Especially in this day and age, right?
Yes, sir.
Any other questions or comments? Yes, Commissioner Duggan.
So, if I understand you, you're saying you're proposing that we approve grants in advance of receiving the money to be assuming the money is received to fund 9 months from now.
That's correct. Yes.
Would we not want to just wait and see if there are other projects that might come in the time period that might merit jumping ahead of some of these?
We could.
I'm asking you for what...
I think that these are both projects that have been previously reviewed, and we didn't have the finances to be able to fund them, and they're both very, very valuable river access projects, and I think that both of them merit funding.
Okay. The next question I have is, on the second project on the papers is one for Lake Granberry, and I'm all for Lake Granberry, but I wanted to ask you, when we review these, do we consider as a part of the process just how good a partner the applicant is? In this case, the applicant or the project sponsor is the BRA. And in light of the presentation last night about freshwater inflows, there are some inconsistencies with what BRA does. I mean, it sells, it's in the process, the business of selling water, and we're talking about an agency that at times we've disagreed with. So I guess my question is, even though I'm in favor of this particular project, do we consider and discuss with the applicants the partnership that we try to promote with people like this?
Well, we certainly look at their track record in terms of participation in this program, which has been an excellent partnership. We've done a good number of boat access ramp projects with BRA in various locations. I'm not aware of the situation that you're referring to. I'm sorry.
Well, I think the BRA has stated that it is in the business of selling water, and whatever its charter provides, it provides. But it seems to me at times that if you're going to sell water and reduce inflows, that they ought to consider discussing that with our department experts and make sure that the impacts of their actions are discussed with us. And that's all I'm trying to encourage, is when we get an application from somebody that can impact the natural resources, as BRA can, if whether it proceeds to try to support Cedar Ridge Reservoir out near Abilene or otherwise limits the freshwater inflows to the Gulf or any of the lakes, including Granberry.
We can certainly consider it.
Commissioner, maybe I could elaborate there, because we've got a number of relationships with various partners and organizations in which, you know, there's certain things we agree on and some areas in which we disagree. One thing that may not have had a chance to brief you all on, but we spent really the last several years working with BRA on a system-wide water permit that they were pursuing with TCEQ, and had very long discussions and negotiations about that permit and making sure that, at least in the context of that there were sufficient protections for freshwater inflows as well as gauging stations around the course of the river. We also work closely with them with respect to their park rangers, working with our law enforcement team, places like Possum Kingdom and Granberry, where we have a lot of overlap. They've been supportive of the fish hatchery. We've had a lot of discussions with them. Obviously, we've got a state park there at Possum Kingdom. So it's a very multifaceted relationship, and so while we don't always agree on everything when it comes to the water and the inflows, I do want to make sure that you and the commission know that there is a lot of dialogue between us in places. And as we look at these park projects, we typically try to look at those through the lens of, you know, has that agency been a good partner in terms of promoting outdoor recreation and providing recreational access? And that is an area where we've had a lot of common ground.
But we have had other issues with BRA. I mean, aren't we still in a tug of war over the easement for freshwater
access to the park? Yeah, we do have some issues there that we're still sorting through. There's actually a private water supplier there that issue is more directly involved in. Overall, at least particularly in this realm, I think we've had a very positive and constructive relationship with BRA, and And obviously, believe me, we're going to be working very closely on the issues on inflows going forward on matters.
Well, I'm just suggesting that they're asking us to for $82,000 to build this boat ramp, and I think it's a great project, and I support it. But at the same time, it'd be nice if they might work with us on some of our needs and some of the issues over freshwater inflows, and I just would encourage us to do that.
Yeah.
I think that's fair.
No, I hear you, Commissioner. I just, again, this system-wide water permit what they just worked on with TCEQ, we had very elaborate involvement with them, and I'd like a chance maybe to brief you about that at another time.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions or comments from our commissioners? Okay. Do I have a motion for approval? Commissioner Bivens, second. Commissioner Falcone, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, motion carries. Great, thank you.
Thank you,
Tim. Item number 8, it's a briefing, Guadalupe Bass Restoration Initiative, Tim Birdsong. Tim?
Morning, Chairman, Commissioner.
Morning.
My name is Tim Birdsong. I'm Chief of the Inland Fisheries Division's Habitat Conservation Branch. And in this presentation, I'll highlight a highly collaborative watershed-scale conservation initiative that's underway on the Edwards Plateau, and although focused on the conservation needs of our state fish, the Guadalupe bass, the specific actions that we plan to implement are expected to provide broad-scale benefits to aquatic and terrestrial ecosystems throughout the region. Now, streams of the Edwards Plateau and throughout the state have seen increased recreational use in recent years, and this is due in part to the significant increase in the number of Texans involved in canoeing and kayaking. And we've also seen some recent national surveys that have shown that roughly 25% of freshwater anglers throughout the U.S. fish from canoes and kayaks. And that increase in recreational use is also evident in the number of fishing guide services that specifically target river systems in the state. And you can do a quick Google search and you'll find over 40 river fishing websites, and roughly 20 of those are for guide services, and most of those are located in the Hill Country, and many specifically target Guadalupe bass. And these fishing opportunities have been highlighted in several regional and national publications, such as Southwest Fly Fishing, and they recently ran cover stories on bass fishing opportunities on the San Marcos River and the Devil's River, and they have an upcoming issue dedicated to the Llano River. Articles have also been in mainstream bass fishing publications like Bassmaster magazine. They've run several recent articles on Guadalupe bass fishing and several more articles that focus on small waters, river streams, ponds as a high quality but low cost alternative to fishing reservoirs and lakes, which typically involve the costs associated with owning and operating a motorboat. Bassmaster also recently developed a new initiative called the Bass Slam, and this is being termed the angler's ultimate challenge, and what they've done is challenge bass anglers to catch keepable size of all 8 black bass species. And 7 of the 8 are found in these really picturesque rivers and streams of the southeastern U.S., and this map shows the native ranges of those species. And 7 of the 8 are endemic to the southeastern U.S., and of course, Guadalupe bass is only found in Texas, and that's highlighted there in blue. But the diversity of the streams throughout this region is unparalleled by any other region of the United States. Over 1,800 species of freshwater fishes, mussels, and crayfish are found in the roughly 70 major rivers in this region. Mm-hmm. And despite the high ecological value, public support for conservation of streams in the southeast has lagged behind other areas of the country, such as the Pacific Northwest, and that's due in part to the lack of an iconic species like salmon. But with the support growing around these black bass species and the increased recreational use of streams in Texas and throughout the southeast, we saw a great opportunity to partner and develop a new initiative where we would focus hopefully resources, dollars, around conservation of these species, and with that, conservation of streams throughout the region. So we partnered with over 20 conservation organizations across the southeast, developed this business plan that's focused on the specific conservation needs of these of all 8 of these black basses and identified specific strategies, actions, and funding needed to support their conservation over a 10-year period. And the plan totals roughly $30 million that would be needed to support sustainable populations of these species, and about $13 million of that is dedicated to Guadalupe bass. So the National Fish and Wildlife Foundation adopted this business plan as a new keystone initiative by their foundation and recently made available the first grant to support a pilot project under the entire region-wide initiative, and that grant was made available to Parks and Wildlife to support work surrounding Guadalupe bass. Now, we've taken that funding and we've leveraged that against several other sources and now have nearly $1.4 million to support our initial 3-year pilot project, and all of that funding is dedicated to on-the-ground projects, and that doesn't include salary figures related to our time and our involvement, which is being covered by other sources. But this initial 3-year pilot project is focused on the Upper Llano River, and that river on this map is highlighted in green. You can see several colored areas, and those represent watersheds for the various tributaries that feed the Llano River, and those include the North Llano River, the South Llano River, and the James River. And we're taking a phased approach here, and the initial focus of this project is on the South Llano River, which is pictured here. And this is a typical clear pool riffle run type system, typical of most hill country streams, and it's fed by numerous springs like the one pictured here, which is found on the 700 Springs Ranch near the headwaters. And most of the system has these functional intact riparian zones, which are real important for the health of Guadalupe bass. And there's also some high quality in-stream structural habitat like this log where we collected this Lunker Guadalupe bass during our broodstock collection last fall. There are also other forms of in-stream structural habitat like this submerged tree, root wads, and boulder complexes. All of these are real important to Guadalupe bass and other native fishes in that system. Still in other areas in that system, we have highly degraded habitats, and you see this erosional bank, and not only is the landowner losing land here, but the sediment that's being deposited in the river is covering up gravel substrates, which are real important to Guadalupe bass for spawning. And some of this is natural. It occurs in areas of the river, but in other sections it can be caused by factors such as overgrazing. And, of course, this increases runoff. It can lead to bank erosion, sedimentation, degraded water quality, and just overall poor habitat quality within the river. In other areas, it can be caused by things such as poorly designed road crossings. And this is a temporary road crossing that was constructed by a landowner on the river. And you can see across the river on the other side where at higher water levels that water's been diverted, and there's some bank erosion that's occurring there and some significant alteration of the river. So to address those issues and lots of other degradation issues in that system, we're working with partners to develop a watershed conservation plan that specifically focuses on the needs of Guadalupe bass, other native fishes, and other native species throughout the watershed. We're also working to expand the existing landowner cooperative in the watershed known as the South Llano Watershed Alliance. And this is a group of interested landowners and other stakeholders that are focused on preserving and restoring the health of the river and the watershed. We'll be working with those same landowners and with our landowner incentive program to move some of that grant funding that I showed you earlier to these partners to conduct riparian and upland habitat protection and restoration projects. We'll also be working in partnership with them to conduct in-stream habitat restoration projects, mimicking some of those natural features that I described earlier. Give you an idea of the type of project that we're focused on. We received grant funding to do a restoration project at the South Llano River State Park. And if you've been to the park, I'm sure you're familiar with these erosional banks. And not only is this a problem for access, but creates a lot of issues for Guadalupe bass habitat. So that figure up in the upper left portion of that slide shows a before and after, and you can see the degraded erosional bank and then a standard stream restoration technique that's been applied where you can regrade the bank to a more gentle slope, reestablish native riparian vegetation. And this is a project that we'll be moving forward with in the next year or so. And alongside that, we hope to implement some in-stream structural habitat improvements in the river. And our hope is to develop this park as a demonstration site where we can engage landowners throughout the region, show them what can be done to address some of these issues that they may have on their property. We have a variety of information that we're using to guide these efforts and help prioritize our funding for projects throughout the watershed. We have detailed land use maps that have been developed by our GIS lab through their statewide ecological systems mapping project. And we also have partnered with Texas State University and Texas Tech University to conduct detailed in-stream habitat mapping. And this color-coded map here, what that shows is meso habitats, pool riffle run type habitats that have been characterized. And we add in information on flows and depth and substrate type and what we know about the needs of Guadalupe bass. And we have a good idea within the river of where there's quality habitat and where improvements may be needed. Another program that we're using to engage landowners throughout the region is a partnership that's been developed with the Nueces River Authority. Now we're expanding beyond the Nueces Basin, but over the last year we've conducted 10 riparian conservation workshops for landowners. And at those 10 workshops we engaged about 220 landowners that own over 400,000 acres of the Nueces and Llano River watersheds. And we engaged them, helped them understand the benefits of healthy functional riparian zones, and then discussed potential projects that could be done on their properties and technical guidance, assistance, funding assistance, things like that we would be able to provide. And so we recently partnered with the Natural Resources Conservation Service, and we're going to expand this riparian workshop program beyond the Nueces to areas throughout the Edwards Plateau and hopefully eventually throughout the state. Another program that we'll be using to engage additional stakeholders is our Texas Paddling Trails program. We've had two stakeholder meetings in Junction that involve many of the landowners and paddlers in that area, and we have broad support for developing a new paddling trail from the South Llano River State Park down to the city of Junction. And again, as we implement these restoration projects, they'll provide a great opportunity to build that whole stretch of river as a demonstration area for what we can do for these streams. Lots and lots of partners to acknowledge, and that list just continues to grow. But what we're trying to build here is a model that can be applied statewide for how we work across divisions and with partners to implement these watershed scale fish and wildlife conservation projects. And our updated land and water plan identifies 20 specific objectives and strategies that guide our agency toward implementing our conservation activities at watershed scales and ecosystem scales. And so this is an attempt to begin fleshing out how exactly we can do that, and then we'll be taking this approach that's being applied on the Llano and moving to other streams in the Edwards Plateau and hopefully throughout the state. So with that, I'll take any questions.
Any questions or comments? Good work. Sounds like you're building some momentum.
Yeah, this is great.
Yeah. You said you had two meetings and how many landowners and representing how much acreage?
Yeah, the riparian workshops, we've had 10 of those and roughly 400,000 acres represented
okay.
there. As far as the work on the South Llano, we have the property of the 700 Springs Ranch, the Llano Springs Ranch, several other ranchers that are involved with the South Llano Watershed Alliance that own over 30,000 acres of that watershed. And that's about a half million acre watershed. And so we're making some significant progress. We have more projects, I think, that we'll be able to, that have been identified than we have funding to be able to support. So that's a good position to be in.
Right. Okay. Tim, any other questions or comments? Yes, ma'am.
When are you expecting to open the new paddling trail going into Junction?
We're still just in the initial planning phases, and we talked about different segments of the river where we might want to develop that trail. And so at the last meeting, most of the support surrounded taking that trail from the South Llano River State Park to the city Junction. Mm-hmm. But we're a ways off, and there's some other grants that we've applied for that would support development of that trail. So we'll see if we get those. We should know more probably this summer.
Okay. Keep me posted when you do.
Definitely.
Thank you.
Tim, thank you. Any other questions? Comments? Thank you, Tim.
Thanks.
Appreciate it. Okay, moving on to item number 9, action item, revisions to exotic aquatic species rules and fees. Oh, no, this is the one that's been withdrawn. I'm sorry. Number 10, action request for easement, Brazoria County power line easement at the Justin Hurst Wildlife Management Area. Resolution, Ted Hollingsworth. Ted?
Chairman, commissioners, very pleased to be able to say good morning. I'm Ted Hollingsworth with the Land Conservation Program. This item is an action item. If you pass it, it would result in the granting of an easement to Dow Pipeline Company. They have requested an easement at the Justin Hurst Wildlife Management Area. The easement would allow them to provide cathodic protection to three existing pipelines that cross the Wildlife Management Area. Dow Pipeline has worked closely with staff to find the route that would result in the least amount of impact to the Wildlife Management Area. Since the first reading, they've actually brought us another proposal that would put the cathodic protection unit at the existing power supply and then would bury the lines, providing direct current to the pipelines, further reducing impacts to the Wildlife Management Area. Again, they work closely with staff. None of the details have changed, except that there would not be an aerial line across the WMA. And staff does believe that cathodic protection is in the best interest. It'll increase the pipeline lifespan, as well as reduce the possibility of failures in the pipeline. And as a result, staff does recommend that you adopt the resolution that you have attached as Exhibit A. Be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions, Commissioner Douglas?
Ted, where would the rectifier be? I understand that's an appurtenance that would be above ground to convert the direct
alternating
current.
It's in that 50 by 50 foot wide, that 50 by 50 foot box. There would be on the road adjacent to the right of way. And the original plan was to actually take overhead lines to it and locate it at the pipelines by moving it to the existing power supply service. You keep all of those visual impacts in one location, and then the direct current feed would be buried to the pipelines, again, further reducing the visual impacts at the Wildlife Management Area from those that you saw in the first reading back in November.
Okay. Would this proposed easement be tied to the validity of the underlying pipeline easements?
Those pipeline easements, we inherited those. They were in place when we acquired the Wildlife Management Area. We really have no jurisdiction there, so this is a new easement that's a separate easement from the pipeline easement.
I understand it, but would the new proposed easement be tied to the validity of the underlying easements? So if the underlying easements expired or were terminated, would this easement also terminate?
Yes, sir.
And then is it assignable? Would it be assignable?
Yes, sir.
Is our consent required?
Yes, sir.
And is there an indemnity provision in the...
Yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you.
It's pretty good.
We've been through this drill a few times.
Yeah. I thought that might have been...
Well, I didn't mean with Commissioner Duggan. Although we've been through that drill a couple times.
Right. Any other questions or comments? Okay, this is an action item. Do I have a motion? Commissioner Morian, second. Commissioner Martin, all in favor? Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion carries. Okay, item number 11, action request for easement, Briscoe County, transmission line crossing Caprock Canyons Trailway.
Chairman,
Ted.
Commissioners, good morning. My name is Ted Hollingsworth. I'm with the Land Conservation Program. This results from a request from Cross Texas Transmission for an easement to cross the Caprock Canyon Trailways with a line that is a component of the CREZ transmission complex intended to bring power generated by wind turbines in the panhandle down to population centers in Central Texas and in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. This map shows the trailway and two different routes that were looked at closely. The first settlement route we had significant issues with because it was close to the Calamity Railroad Tunnel that houses a large population of bats and was also in a scenic area of the trail. The second settlement route was agreed to by the PUC after having worked with staff at Texas Parks and Wildlife to reduce aesthetic and biological impacts to the trailway. Upon further discussions, primarily with Cross Texas Transmission, a suite of mitigation measures has been arrived at that would not only minimize the aesthetic impacts to the park, but would result in Cross Texas Transmission providing some assistance to Texas Parks and Wildlife with the trailway. Here's a summary of that assistance. They would provide $150,000 for repairs, primarily erosion control at the Clarity Tunnel, and $800,000 to help us resurface 17 miles of trailway. This is one of the least used areas of the trailway currently. Part of the reason for that is the fact that the trail surface has not been upgraded and maintained since we acquired the trailway. This would not only improve that trail surface, but we're confident would also increase visitation and use of that park. And that would be on top of our standard easement fees, which have been assessed at $20,000 initial damages and then $8,000 a year in occupancy. Staff would like to comment that Cross Texas Transmission has worked very closely with Texas Parks and Wildlife to arrive in good faith at a suite of measures to minimize those impacts to the park and arrive at some compensatory measures that we believe will be very beneficial to the park if you choose to grant the easement. Would also like to add that the resolution in Exhibit A was edited overnight as a result of comments in session yesterday to more fully reflect the provisions in Chapter 26 of the Parks and Wildlife Code. Be happy to answer any questions you might have.
Any questions? We went through this very thoroughly yesterday, but any questions or comments? Okay, I do have one public comment. Cameron Fredkin.
Good morning, Chairman, Commissioners. My name is Cameron Fredkin, Director of Project Development with Cross Texas Transmission. Just wanted to let you know we've been working on this project for over the last 2 years and worked with Parks and Wildlife during that time and very closely over the last several months in trying to come up with mitigation means for our project. We think we've been very successful with that. We've got a solution that meets the needs of both parties. Staff should be commended for their hard work and efforts, and today we just appreciate your consideration for the easement request today, and I'm here to answer any questions you may have about the project.
Any questions or comments for Mr. Fredkin? No, appreciate it. I appreciate the staff went through yesterday in executive session how cooperative you all have been. We understand it's an extremely important project, not only for you, but for the state of Texas and people that want the power. And of course, there's going to be a lot more of this going on as the future unfolds. And so we very much appreciate your cooperation on this.
Thank you.
Any other questions, comments? Okay. This is an action item. Do I have a motion on this item? Oh, excuse me, Commissioner Duncan.
No, I want to make the motion, but I want to make some comments first.
Sure.
As I understand it, this request is premised on an order issued by the PUC on January 19th, in which the question was raised about whether the granting of a CCN, or a Certificate of Convenience and Necessity, by the PUC for a power line where the line does not touch the ground yet invades airspace, triggers Chapter 26 of the Parks and Wildlife Code. The order from the PUC concluded that Chapter 26 was not triggered. I respectfully disagree with that conclusion. In my judgment, there's no question that any crossing of airspace of lands under control of Parks and Wildlife, which are defined in Section 13001 of the Code, does trigger Chapter 26. So with that statement, and because it's my understanding that the PUC and Cross Texas did nevertheless comply with Chapter 26, and based upon my conclusion that both 26 and 13009 are applicable, I move approval.
Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Commissioner Buckman, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, motion carries. Thank you very much. Item number 12, an action, acceptance of land donation, Kendall and Bandera counties, 3,700 acres, 3K Ranch, Corky Coleman. Presentation.
Good morning. For the record, Corky Coleman with Land Conservation Program, and we have saved the best for last today. This item represents a land donation to Kendall and Bandera County, just outside of Burney, Texas, between Burney and Pipe Creek. It is 3,757 acres. Located on the property, the infrastructure consists of two residences, garages, barns, one large residence that hadn't been used in quite a few years. There is a ranch manager's residence, and there is a caretaker in the property now. The whole property has been deer-proof fenced around 12 years ago. All the fence is in good condition, with the exception of a few water gaps that need to be mended. The water on the property, there's about a mile and a half of Pipe Creek, both sides of it, a couple of stock tanks, and then various other streams that are unnamed that are spring-fed. The views there are magnificent. Although there's a lot of development around this piece of property, there is still quite a bit that hasn't been. Summary of the property is it contains about 2.5 miles of Highway 46 frontage. The infrastructure seems to be in good condition, not excellent, needs some work, but in good condition. The creek, as mentioned, the high fence, the road network has a good road network. It would be good for trails, would need some improvement if you were to take vehicles around across it. Preliminary habitat assessment by our biologists have identified 200 different plant species, and most of those native, and I have been told that in the spring that count would probably double. And a conservative estimate is at least half the site is potential golden cheek warbler habitat. I'd like to add that I've had in excess of 170 emails from mostly around that area, landowners, relatives that support taking this property. I've had two emails opposed, and then one gentleman emailed wanting to know if his VA loan would qualify to buy part of this after we got it. But hopefully we won't sell. I had one email from a gentleman in San Antonio wanting to know if we got the property, if his VA loan would qualify him to buy part of this property from us. In addition to that, we've gotten letters in support from the Edwards Aquifer Authority, also the Cibolo Nature Center, the Native Plant Society of Burney, the Alamo Area and Hill Country chapter of the Master Naturalist. The last three, the Cibolo, the Native Plant Society, and both Master Naturalist chapters, in their letters, conveyed to us that any support we needed as far as volunteerism to help run the place, to help manage the place, anything they could do to help, they'd be more than happy to do. And with that, staff recommends the Parks and Wildlife Commission adopt the following motion. Texas Parks and Wildlife Commission authorizes the Executive Director to take all necessary steps to accept the donation of the Three King Ranch, comprising of approximately 3,757.54 acres located in Kendall and Bandera counties. be glad to take any questions.
Any questions or comments? Can we do this in public?
Yes, sir.
Question, comments? Is that okay? I have some people that would like to speak. First one, Preston Kumkowski. You'll come up, and then on standby, Catherine Long. Preston.
Is this the line of departure?
Sure is, right there.
Start the clock.
Okay.
Good morning, members of the commission. My name is Preston Kronkowski. I appreciate the opportunity to address you concerning agenda item number 12, acceptance of the land donation in Kendall Bandera counties of approximately 3,757 acres, known as 3K Ranch. To me and to the relatives, we simply refer to it as Cousin Albie and Bessie's Ranch at Pipe Creek. I strongly urge the Commission of the Texas Parks and Wildlife to approve the acceptance of this gift of the 3K Ranch, also known as the Kronkowski Ranch. My cousins Albert or Albie and Bessie Kronkowski expressly stated in their will that they wanted their 3,757-acre ranch near Pipe Creek to be given to the state of Texas, to be held in perpetuity, to be used as a state park or state wildlife refuge or natural wilderness area for the benefit of all Texans. As the population of the Hill Country in central Texas increases, there is less and less open or public land available to be enjoyed by the non-rural residents. The opportunity to acquire as a gift a large section of undeveloped prime Hill Country land for the benefit of all Texans is a once-in-a-lifetime possibility that must not be lost. If you have traveled recently in the northwestern San Antonio, New Braunfels, Bernie, Bulverde, Bergheim, Comfort, Bandera, Blanco, or Fredericksburg areas, you realize the burgeoning population of the ever-expanding number of housing developments is dramatically decreasing the opportunity for the state of Texas to acquire a large, magnificent piece of undeveloped property for the enjoyment and recreation of the ever-increasing non-rural population of the Texas Hill Country, a piece of property that represents the undeveloped Hill Country that drew the original German colonists to that part of the state in the early 1840s and 1850s. Thus, as a fifth-generation Texan of New Braunfels and a relative of Albert and Bessie Kronkowski, I strongly urge the commissioners of the Texas Department of Parks and Wildlife to approve the motion to accept the gift of the 3K Ranch. That action would be entirely consistent with the mission statement of the commission. Thank you for allowing me, a taxpayer of this great state, to address you.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate your comments. Catherine Long. And next up, John Coyle.
Good morning. I'm Catherine H. Long. We own the land immediately across from the Kronkowski estate. We've been there since lived on it since 1964. About 20 years ago, Mr. Kronkowski approached my husband with saying that he wanted his 3K ranch to go to the Texas Parks and Wildlife Department. At that point, wanted a refusal on our land. Well, we didn't plan to sell and don't plan to sell, but I just wanted the commission to know that this has been his hope, was his hope. And at this point, along 46, there's not a lot of development. The land is still mostly in bigger chunks, and the neighbors I know all hope to keep their land that way. And so we couldn't think of anything we'd like better than to have the state accept the property. And may I say, as a 60-year Texas rancher, how much the game wardens have done for us, and the support and the friendship have just been remarkable. Thank you so much.
Thank you for your comments, and thank you for the comments on our great game wardens. Thank you. John Cole.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen of the Commission. I am John Coyle. I'm the Scout Executive of the Alamo Area Council Boy Scouts of America. I personally had the opportunity to tour the Three Caves Ranch and thank Texas Park and Wildlife for accommodating the Boy Scouts so we could better know what the ranch has to offer. The ranch is beautiful, and the Scouts would love to have it, use it, and conserve it. The ranch would be a huge program asset to the Scouts, giving us a local high adventure base to help fulfill Scouting's mission of instilling values in young people so they may develop into adults of character. The ranch's undeveloped nature, size, and terrain are ideal for overnight backpacking experiences. If any of you were Scouts and had the opportunity to go to Philmont either as a youth or an adult, we liken it to that, although on a smaller scale. At Philmont, which has more than 100,000 acres, Scouts are on the trail for 12 days and hike from 50 to as much as 100 miles depending on the itinerary they select. At 3Ks, we believe that 3 to 7-day programs would be ideal. Scouts teach low-impact camping and leave no trace. That means if you pack it in, you pack it out. And Scouts are taught to always leave a campsite better than we found it. I believe the Commission is already aware of what a great environmental partner Scouting is and will continue to be as stewards of not only our state's parks, but privately owned lands that are so generously shared with our Scout groups. The BSA celebrated our 100th anniversary last year. There's no organization that does more in the outdoors with youth than the BSA. Scouts learn about the environment and learn to respect and care for nature. They also learn self-reliance and become self-confident as they overcome the physical and mental challenges faced in the out-of-doors. Leaders are born here. We've heard rumors and read the Express News article that Scouts would sell the 3K's Ranch. I want to dispel those rumors. First, by the terms of the will and the trust, Scouts are prohibited from selling the ranch. Second, as I've already stated, the ranch would be a valuable resource to the Boy Scouts for training future leaders of the San Antonio area. Everyone should know the Boy Scouts would not and could not sell the property, as has been alleged by some. If the Commission decides not to accept the property, it would come to the Scouts, along with assets in the trust. We believe these other assets are substantial enough to form an endowment which would allow us to manage, preserve, and protect the property while delivering Scouting's outdoor program to thousands of kids annually. Scouts would propose to work with the state to develop a conservation plan to guide us as we develop our program. To the state and to the Scouts, this land is priceless. Priceless because you cannot put a true value on it. Priceless because it cannot be sold. Be pleased to answer any questions from the Commission. Thank you.
Mr. Coyle, thank you for coming. And, of course, we certainly have tremendous respect for the Scouts and all the Scouting and the focus on conservation that the Scouts encourage strongly. If we move forward and vote to accept this, of course, we want to continue working with the Scouts in any way we can. And as we make decisions, if we vote to accept this and work with you all in a cooperative, very cooperative manner. So we appreciate your comments today.
Oh, absolutely. We'd be willing to be a partner as sure. We are in all other endeavors. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Any other comments or questions? Yes, ma'am.
I had the privilege of going onto the property and touring and taking a look at this magnificent piece of property, and Chairman, I think that this particular piece of property fits right into the mission statement of Parks and Wildlife and all of the efforts that we do in proceeding forward in protecting our natural resources and offering great opportunities for all the citizens of the state of Texas as well as all of our visitors. And so just a comment that it's a magnificent piece of property, and I would like to make the motion that we go forward and accept this piece of property that has been gifted to us.
Okay. Do we have a second? Commissioner Hickson, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion carries. And I want to thank the Kronkowskis for so much that they've done in so many ways. Of course, this property is just another magnificent gift and a wonderful thing for Texas Parks and Wildlife, but again, more importantly, for the citizens of the state of Texas. And as I think Mr. Kronkowski, our first speaker, spoke about, that area is certainly becoming suburbia, or is suburbia, I guess, and growing rapidly, becoming urbanized, and so this is going to be a great piece of property to be able to conserve that beautiful, beautiful area. So this is, as Corky said, this is a nice way to end this session. So thank you. We actually do have another item. It's going to be an executive session. It's personnel matters, performance evaluation of TPWD executive director, will be heard in executive session. Therefore, I would like to announce that pursuant to the requirements of Chapter 551 Government Code, referred to as the Open Meetings Act, an executive session will be held at this time for the purpose of deliberation regarding personnel, 551-074 of the Open Meetings Act. We will now recess for executive session. Thank you. Thank you, everybody. Am I on now?
Yes.
Can you hear me? Okay. At this time, we will reconvene the regular session of the commission meeting regarding committee number 13? Anyway.
Or commission, not, I don't know.
Yeah, commission item number 13, personnel matters, performance evaluation of the TPWD executive director. No further action is required. Mr. Smith, this commission has completed its business. I declare us adjourned. Thank you all very much.